Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 28, 2021. 18 people were killed during an intercommunal violence between two communities in Warab and Unity States.
These attackers, they usually come from Ayom County. 15 people were killed. 5 children were killed.
And some South Sudanese economists say the move by the Bank of South Sudan to flood the markets with U.S. dollars will not solve the country's economic crisis.
If you present the pound artificially in this way of auctioning, it will encourage more imports, okay, at the moment to come into the country, especially when one uses loans to bridge fresh market gas in the foreign exchange. It will not be sustainable.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Unity and Warab states say at least 18 people were killed and dozens of others injured following clashes between armed young men from the two states. The clashes were allegedly provoked by some young men who crossed from Mayom to Warab State's Gogrial East County to raid cattle. For VOA News, Daniel Mareng Wek reports from Kwajok.
Gogrial East County Commissioner Ayom Bull says armed young men from neighboring Unity State, Mayom County, crossed into East County to raid cattle. He says when the gunmen failed to find cattle, they resorted to attacking civilians. He says local young men then mobilized and the two sides clashed at an area called Mangol. He says more than a dozen people were killed and 17 others were injured.
They usually come from Ayom County. 15 people were killed. 5 children were killed. And 3 women were killed. And even they burned down the house.
County Commissioner Bull says the attackers burned down 2 villages and the Mangol market in Gogrial East County. He says tensions are still high in the county and many people are still in hiding. Bull says this is the first time armed men from Unity State have attacked East area and killed people. He says last month more than 30 people were killed in Mangolapuk by the same armed youth. He is calling on the authorities from Unity and Warab States to address the matter. Unity State Information Minister Gabriel Horn McQuay confirms that armed young men from East State clash with the youth from Warab State, Gogrial East County on Wednesday and Thursday.
It means, you know, not even Warab and East State alone, it means for Sudan, you know, going to be disarmed, you know,
McQuay called for disarmament across the country to allow the communities to live in peace and hedge the communities of Warab and Unity States in particular to embrace peaceful coexistence. Ring Deng Adeng is the Warab State Information Minister.
We are condemning the system and we are asking our government to remain calm. I am requesting our counterpart, government of Unity State, critically search for these criminals, arrest them.
Idemuni Yakani, a Juba-based civil society activist and executive director of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, or CIPO, also condemned the violence.
So we're losing lives of innocent civilians there, whom they expect authorities have the primary responsibility to protect them, but the authorities are now completely silent. So I condemn that, and I did urge, in particular, His Excellency President, to have a say over this. This can't be condoned.
Yakani blames South Sudanese leaders for keeping silent and watching communities confront each other. He is urging President Salva Kiir to declare intercommunal conflict a national crisis because the government is unable to control it. He says the future of the country remains dark if leaders keep ignoring violence in Unity, Warab, Lakes and Jonglei states along with the Greater Pibor administrative area. Yakani says the intercommunal fighting taking place in those areas of the country has led to the loss of many lives. He says the only way to end the violence is if South Sudanese leaders demonstrate political will to reconcile, disarm, and build consensus among communities of South Sudan. The revitalized peace agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan mandates that leaders should conduct a nationwide disarmament and initiate peace-building activities to nurture the spirit of brotherhood and restore common unity and social cohesion among the communities in South Sudan. For BOA News, Daniel Marengwek in Kwajok.
The Sudanese Transitional Government and the Sudan People's Liberation Movement North Faction, led by Abdulaziz Al-Hilu, resumed talks in Juba on Wednesday. The two sides are expected to focus on political, economic, humanitarian, and security issues during the current round of talks. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Hundreds of Sudanese women, men most of whom are from the Nuba Mountains, an area largely controlled by SPLM North, gathered in Juba's Freedom Hall yesterday where they sang songs of freedom and called for an end to their suffering. They were also there to witness the resumption of talks between the Sudan government and the rebel SPLM North faction run by Abdulaziz Al-Hilu. The women ululated as their leaders spoke during the event. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, and Sudanese Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok were both present at the talks. Both leaders said restoring stability is one of the top priorities of the transitional government in Khartoum and promised to reach consensus with the SPLM North on the major remaining issues on the table. Al-Burhan says he believes this chapter of talks with Al-Hilu will finally address the concerns of the people in the Nuba Mountains and parts of Blue Nile which are controlled by SPLM North.
We came to the negotiation this time around with an open heart and are determined to achieve peace for Sudan. Peace that complements what has started in previous agreements. We have signed a number of agreements with our brothers in the armed groups, and we are still determined to finish this race. We are committed to all that we have agreed on the Declaration of Principles.
The talks stalled last August after the two parties could not agree on the issues to be resolved. In March of this year, the two sides agreed which issues needed to be tackled and signed a Declaration of Principles. In that deal, both agreed to the separation of religion from state, one of the major demands of the rebel groups. Details of that agreement have yet to be worked out. Al-Hilu pledged his party's commitment to a peaceful settlement and negotiations on issues that he says should address the root causes of the conflict in Sudan. He says the SPLM North is concerned about security lapses in Sudan without specifically mentioning the recent deaths of two peaceful protesters killed by security forces in Khartoum.
The SPLM North is monitoring with great concern the erosion of the principle of the rule of law in the country through security lapses in various areas in Sudan. The continuation of human rights violations without bringing the perpetrators to justice and the persistence of impunity, which is one of the main threats to peace and stability process in Sudan.
South Sudan President Salva Kiir, whose government is mediating the talks, called on both parties to concentrate on ending their differences.
With the start of these negotiations, I call upon all the parties to embrace the spirit of dialogue and let their attention shift to peace instead of thinking of war. I believe that war will never save us anything. You have seen we fought for 21 years up to 2005. It was 21 years. With all of that, we did not get what we wanted in full.
Ambassador Donald Booth, the U.S. envoy for Sudan and South Sudan, who was present at the start of the talks, says it is critical that this current round of negotiations move forward quickly to bring peace and development in the Nuba Mountains and some of the areas affected by the conflict.
The United States and our Troika partners, the United Kingdom and Kingdom of Norway, are committed to supporting these negotiations, and we have full confidence that both sides possess the political will to build on the momentum of the Declaration of Principles to reach a peace agreement in the very near future.
Peace talks between the Sudanese Transitional Government and SPLM North started in late 2019. Several rounds of talks during former Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir's rule failed to end the conflict in the Nuba Mountains and parts of Blue Nile State. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Some COVID-19 frontline health workers, including doctors and nurses, went on strike on Wednesday in protest against delays by the government to pay their incentives. The doctors and the nurses say they have not received their incentives for 9 months. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Today on the 27th, we are laying down tools. Nobody's going to work.
That is John Mabior, one of the frontline health workers addressing the media at the Dr. John Garang Infectious Disease Center today. Mabior says up until now, the COVID-19 frontline health workers have been responding to COVID-19 cases since the confirmation of the first case in April 2020 to reduce the spread of the virus in South Sudan, but no one has thought about paying them what they are owed. Mabior says health workers have been patient, hoping that government officials and other concerned institutions would care about their lives and those of their dependents after sacrificing their lives for others in the civil population, but nothing has been done.
We have been talking to the authority in the ministry. We have been visiting each and everybody concerned, and our boys have never been recorded. We are closing to 9 months without being paid. This, the workers have said, enough is enough. We work for the nation. But we want to tell the media that we are being neglected, we are being ignored, nobody taking care of us. Today you can contract the sickness, nobody really know where you are. You die, nobody come to you. And we are saying, today on the 27th of May 2021, we attend the media to hear our voice to the world that the healthcare workers in South Sudan are demanding their 9 month pay. And this is our stand.
Mabior says as health workers deal with one of the most contagious diseases in the world, they should have been given insurance, accommodations, and risk allowances so that they can take care of their families. But that has not happened. He says when frontline workers initially started their work in March 2020, they requested $2,500 a month, but were only paid $600 per person for 3 months. And then in August, they were paid $1,000 to $1,800, depending on one's level of studies. Mabior says that was the last time health workers were paid. Abraham Ajok, another frontline health worker, urges the public to be more vigilant about taking COVID-19 preventive measures because health workers will stop responding to emergency cases unless the government pays their incentives.
From today going onwards, we may not be able to receive your calls because there is communication side is going to stop. We may not be able to respond to the alert. We may not be able to respond to the mortalities. Mortalities are those people who die suddenly in the community, and our colleagues, they turn up to screen either that person died of COVID or did not die of COVID.
Ajok says health workers will also no longer provide statistics on COVID cases. Dr. Angelo Guop Koch, director of South Sudan's Public Health Emergency Operations Center, says the health workers raised their concerns to him a few days ago, but he asked them to put it in writing. He says he has yet to receive anything in writing so that he can forward it to the Ministry of Health. Dr. Koch says he has already alerted the Ministry of Health about the concerns raised by health workers.
There are some challenges with the payment, but it will come at the end. The challenge is in the ministry and the Ministry of Finance, and they are working on that, so the payment will be done. This is the information we got from the ministry, that they are working on the payment, and the payment is going to come. But when? I don't have the tentative date.
Dr. Koch says he is not aware of the strike, and that what he knows is that some frontline workers are still working. He says if the health workers stop working, it will have a huge negative impact on the country because those affected will not be removed from communities, which may increase the spread of the virus. He is calling on frontline workers to be a little more patient as officials try to address their payment issues with the two ministries. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how is the US dollar doing in South Sudan's markets? Find out an answer to that question after the break.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The Bank of South Sudan announced increase in weekly auctioning of US dollars into the market to narrow the gap between the South Sudanese pounds and the US dollars. Some Juba-based economists say the government is temporarily fixing the country's economic crisis through artificial means. For VOA News, Onen Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Central Bank Governor Dier Torongor told reporters in Juba that the Bank of South Sudan will increase the amount of money it auctions each week to $8 million to commercial banks and 56 legally registered forex bureaus beginning next week.
We are going to increase the auction that we give to banks by 60%. From 3 million that we auction every week, we are going to increase the amount to 5 million from next week. Also, we will increase the auction that goes to forex bureaus by 50%. So the amount that we auction to forex bureaus will increase from 2 million to 3 million every week. We are taking these measures because our belief is that the main reason why dollar can strengthen is only when there is excess liquidity, when there is more cash in the hands of the public. And therefore, it is that cash that we target.
But Hamid Morojan, a senior economics lecturer at the University of Juba, calls the central bank's plan to stabilize the economy a menaced flood and not a proper policy. He says injecting U.S. dollars into the economy in a bid to narrow the gap between the dollar and the local currency is only a temporary measure and will not stabilize the value of the local currency in the long run.
If you strengthen the pound artificially in this way of auctioning, it will encourage more imports, okay, at the moment, to be coming to the country, especially when one uses loans to bridge fresh market gaps in the forex exchange. It will not be sustainable. And it can be also manipulated by some unscrupulous individuals, given the nature of our practices.
Gladys Reja, another economics lecturer at the University of Juba, agrees that the central bank's initiative is only a temporary intervention and is basically aimed at collecting and returning South Sudanese pounds, which were outside the banking institutions, into the banking system.
This monetary intervention may not help us, you know, it may not help us. Because we know very well, first of all, that we are a consuming economy where we import almost 90% of our goods, you know, from the neighboring countries. Coupled with the insecurity, you know, that this track the agriculture production.
Morjan says most businesses in South Sudan are owned by foreigners. He says the central bank's policy of injecting more dollars into the economy is unlikely to boost the economy. He says such a policy will lead to weekly repatriation of hard currency by foreign businesses, which will not improve the local economy.
As such, they will have to repatriate their profits. And these profits are repatriated in terms of hard currency, through importation of goods and through repatriation of profits. Politically, it may be pleasing, but in terms of real economic terms, it will not be sustainable for long. And especially, as we noted that this money comes from the IMF. Now, will the IMF continue giving such money?
Reja says for sales done to realize a quick economic recovery and be able to pay off its loans, the government should invest its oil revenues and part of the loans it gets from the IMF and World Bank in restoring peace across the country.
Recent research has noted that countries that experience political instability are always in economic crisis. And therefore, if our country wants to recover economically, then we should have to stop all what is going on in the country and focus on sustainable peace for all Sudanese, so that all people return to their respective homes. They engage in the agriculture sector. They engage in whatever production.
Reja also says South Sudan cannot continue borrowing money from international institutions. She says loans in the long run will not sustain the local economy. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
We'd love to hear what you think about this program. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. Many of you shared your opinions with us on stories you heard on the show this past week, including your feelings over the killing of a doctor in Unity State. Jacob Dior Machueng from Euro Lake States writes, "Killing professionals, especially doctors and teachers, is the biggest crime that deserves capital punishment and must be condemned. South Sudan is heading to unknown direction if we continue to eliminate our few people who have committed their lives for the sake of vulnerable South Sudanese. I urge the government to arrest the culprits who killed the IRC doctor in Unity State. May his innocent soul rest in peace." Mengistu Zama Bidi from Yambio of Western Equatoria State says, "The killing of the young doctor in Unity State is more than serious. South Sudan is lacking doctors, and yet we are killing the few we have. Again, what hurts so much is when someone is being murdered, no arrest is made and no proper investigation is being carried out by the concerned personnel like the police. Killing of innocent people in cold blood seems to be all over the country nowadays. I used to think that after the formation of the transitional government of national unity, the security of South Sudan will be optimal, but there are still some pockets of insecurity. May the innocent soul of this young doctor dwell in eternal life." Saber Isaac Khamis in Khartoum, Sudan says, "I'm very saddened to hear about the killing of two medical personnel. It is very inhumane. The state government must bring the killers to book. Justice must be served in this country. Enough is enough. Tolerance must stop. Aid workers in South Sudan must be provided with security, including maximum protection by both government and organizations. Killing medical personnel is like killing a bishop. My sincere condolences to the families." Maker Mayor from Lake State's Ural Adyor Payam writes, "Rampant insecurity caused by cattle raiders from Panyajar County have left people in the Adyor area without the chance to cultivate their land this year. People are now displaced and have no land in which they can do their farming activities. Thanks to UNMISS for accessing the dire situation of looming hunger in the Adyor area. I urge all South Sudanese youth to abandon the culture of cattle raiding and join the process of peace building for the betterment of our community." Mate Martin Lawrence from Wau, South Sudan asks, "Why the President of the Republic of South Sudan and his Vice President in the whole presidency of RT Gono reluctant in disarming civilians? Forces in cantonment are not graduating because there are no arms and military equipment, but our civilians are armed to the teeth, and that makes this country hell on earth. Why do they refuse to provide solutions? It is because all of them have dual citizenships. Why not collect arms from unauthorized persons and give them back to cantonment graduates?" Paulo Mabak from Rumbek Lake State says, "It is a surprise to hear the Minister of Health talking about the return of COVID-19 vaccines when less than 10% of the population in the country get vaccinated. This is the first of its kind in the history of South Sudan to return the donation and has caused the public to complain about the safety of the vaccines. If anything, the ministry should clearly explain the reasons before returning the vaccines." James Ray Majok in Bentiu Town writes, I don't think there will be an option for the Abyei administration area in Arab Nomads administration to accept peace among themselves unless there is strong mediation between the South Sudan government and the Sudan government. Mal Adaw Mal in Bortown says, Jonglei state politicians are seriously trying to play politics. Unfortunately, their game is full of their own goals, yet the entire town faces floods from the Nile and heavy downpours that had already displaced a good number of families northwest of the town. I call upon the conflicting governments of the state to speed up the construction of the dike, leave their issues aside, and first save the community. Tok Chuniyok Kwai from Juba says, to me, implementation of some chapters of the 2018 peace agreement without implementation of others, including security arrangements, is like food without stew. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3, Bortown says, I totally condemn the murder of construction workers along the Juba-Rumbek Road. It is a serious setback to development. I urge authorities concerned to apprehend the perpetrators. John from Koboko, Uganda writes, thank you so much for updating us on the events in South Sudan. However, journalists in South Sudan are threatened not to report the wrongs of the government as war is everywhere in the country. May God have mercy on South Sudanese because killing is the order of the day. Madit Malith Rutich from Awerial County, Lakes State says, the shutdown of the private clinics in Bortown, Jonglei State is a good move and worth hearing, and I wish the same campaign could be carried out in Greater Lakes States to save the lives of our local community. Martin Manil Wugol in Uganda writes, my heart sank when I heard about our people fighting amongst themselves between Akot and Alwakluak communities. I strongly urge national government to immediately intervene by enforcing law and order and arrest the situation. If not, the local population is going to finish themselves. And finally, Samuel Remo in Yai says, where we are living, no one is safe because of the increase in unknown gunmen across the country. If it continues for some months, many people will take refuge in neighboring countries for the safety of their lives. The views expressed here do not represent the views of this program or VOA. We appreciate you telling us what you think. Keep those comments coming. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Thanks, Nabil. Keep your comments short and brief. That's our show for this Friday. Let us know what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Kenya Kenya by Power Stars. We've been listening to Power Stars with the song Kenya Kenya. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, homes, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.